This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
For the reminder, Assalamu alaikum. Anybody who's listening out there, inshallah, do let us know where you're listening from and viewing us from. We're honored, alhamdulillah, to be beginning this wonderful segment, inshallah, of Islam Q&A. With our brothers and sisters at Islam Channel. If you do have any questions, do put them in. We'll do our best, inshallah, to take them. We're going live in 30 seconds, inshallah. Inshallah, we got people from Dallas, Malaysia, Minnesota. MashaAllah, it's good to see the Americans waking up. Toronto, I'll be there soon, inshallah. I look forward to seeing you in January, inshallah, coming back home.
10, 9, 8, MashaAllah. 7, 6, 5. 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, hamda shakirin, wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil mursaleen. Sayyidina wa nabiyina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa ala ali wa sahbihi wa sallim tasliman kathira. Alhamdulillah, it's a pleasure and an honor, alhamdulillah, to gather once again together for Islamic Q&A each and every Wednesday at noon London time. It's a little bit past 8 p.m. here in Perth, Western Australia. Wherever you are in the world, I send you my prayers of peace. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gathers our hearts and our intents to that which is pleasing to Him. And that the time we spend together is a time of reflection, love, and commitment to Allah Azza wa Jalla. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us khayr and barakah. I do look forward to receiving your phone calls live on air. And for some of you who are accustomed to sending in your questions via the text service through islamchannel.tv, I look forward, inshallah, to having them pop up on my screen and be able to address them with you, inshallah. Consider the questions that you ask as something that can be seen as a sadaqah that you donate unto others. Perhaps there are those who are thinking of something similar, but haven't yet had the ability to ask it for themselves. So may your question be reason for an answer, arriving at somebody in the right time for the right reason, fulfilling for them the right circumstances, inshallah. In the meantime, as your questions are being vetted and being sent to me, I did want to speak about a couple of important issues. And alhamdulillah, the time is moving quickly. We're 6 months out from the month of Ramadan. Subhanallah, how quickly this year has moved. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is generous always to His worshipping slave. We're getting closer and closer to the blessed month of Ramadan. And I know it's something early to start thinking about it. I was reflecting as I was driving home at the amount of people who are beginning to put Christmas lights on. There's always this concept, of course, of, you know, how early is it to begin celebrating something or thinking about something? But when there's something that's important to you and a part of you, it becomes something that you are earnest to begin. The month of Ramadan and its spirit would live with the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba all the year. For 6 months after Ramadan, they would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept it from them. Allahumma taqabbal minna shahr Ramadan. And as they gained closer to the month of Ramadan, they would come and they would ask Allah to allow them the honor to live one more year, one more Ramadan. May Allah grant you and I good health and prosperity and the ability to fast obediently to His command, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the upcoming month of Ramadan. Allahumma ameen. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants you and I khayr bi-ibnillahi ta'ala. We have our first caller on the line. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us and them success. Assalamu alaikum, caller. How can I help? Assalamu alaikum, caller. How can I help?
Technical error, we'll come back.
All right, we'll come back to that caller, inshallah. On the service, there's another question that has popped up on my screen here, mashallah. My 15-year-old son passed away in a hiking accident 3 months ago. Sheikh, I was with him at the time and he slipped and fell to his death. I cannot get over the guilt and I should have protected him better. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. To Allah we all belong, and to Allah is our return. There's no power, nor might, nor ability to turn, except that which is provided for us by Allah Azza wa Jalla. And I want you to remember these two statements. They are words from the Quran, words spoken by the prophets of Allah, Ibrahim and Musa and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They are words of expressing your emotion, lamentation and feelings of guilt and regret and wonder of what could have been. And I remind you of the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, authentically reported in Sahih al-Bukhari, where he says, law, mean the word law, had I, if I could have. All of those are statements that are spoken in one's heart at times that self-doubt is something that leads us to wanting to question Allah, that it can stem from a negative influence from the shaitan. May Allah protect you from it. My dear brother, my dear sister, this dear family who has shared with us this moment of sadness and sorrow that has been visited upon them as a qadr of Allah Azza wa Jal, as a measure and as a share of Allah's knowledge of what is ultimately best for them in this dunya and akhirah. I remind you of some of the most hopeful and optimistic statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even at this moment, my dear brother, my dear sister, He looks into your heart and He sends angels regularly upon your home. And He asks them to ask about your condition and about your contentment. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what did they say when I took the fruit of their loins, the apple of their eye, the joy of their heart from them? That I am the one who made this decision. I'm the one who recalled what belonged to me. What did they say? And the angels, they return, and inshallah, this is your statement regularly, alhamdulillah. They said, alhamdulillah, O Allah, ala kulli hal, in whatever condition, in whatever stress, in whatever hardship, in whatever joy, we are always praising of Allah, thankful to Allah, honoring of Allah, unwavering in our contentment, that radina billahi rabba, we are content with Allah as the master and the Lord and the one who is ultimately the one we turn to subhanahu wa ta'ala in all of our affairs. On that condition, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes that a home and a mansion and a palace be erected for you in Jannah, for each and every moment of grief, for each and every tear, for each and every sadness, for each and every sorrow. Subhanallah, I can only imagine. I have a 15-year-old son. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect him and join my son and your son in Jannah ultimately in the day where we are all shaded by the mercy of Allah and gathered with our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear brother, my dear sister, you are among the ranks of those who are in the footsteps of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a way that I cannot be. May Allah protect us all. May Allah uplift you. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam held his son in his hands as he was nearing the moments of his death. He saw his life slip away from him, as you have witnessed, subhanallah, this great hardship and this great difficulty that is an honor for you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in more complex ways than I and you can imagine. But you are from the rank of those who have a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that others have not. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you what perhaps we are too weak to maintain. وَلَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. And Allah does not visit upon a person what they cannot withstand and have as a burden set upon them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to strengthen you and provide for you and assist you and help you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uplift you and care for you and provide for you comfort in your heart and in your home and with your family. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put barakah in your actions. May Allah allow you to fulfill a legacy on His behalf of khayr and support and mentorship. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow you to institute something in His name that can continue to earn Him reward and make you remembering of the blessed days that you have together. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you of those who are able to unburden themselves and feel that release and relief in knowing and trusting that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who decides all of our affairs, the bitter and the sweet. My dear brother, wallahi, Wallahi, I wish I was near you. I wish I could embrace you and hold you. And I wish I could counsel you in more direct manner. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you what others cannot be granted, what others cannot grant you, but that the relief comes from Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send upon you relief as He sent it upon Yaqub. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send you ease as He sent it upon Musa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send you sabr as was granted to our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the departure of his beloved son Ibrahim. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala join us all together in the ranks of al-Nabiyyin, al-Siddiqeen, al-Shuhada, al-Salihin. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you power that you do not know you have and comfort that is within you that you have not yet discovered by His means, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be strong, my dear brother. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uplift you, my dear sister and family of this blessed young man. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him the rank of the shuhada on account of this tragedy. Allahumma ameen. We have another caller on the line. Assalamu alaikum, caller. How can I help?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Yes, sister.
I'd like to ask about Jummah prayer. I attend ladies at Jummah. And I'm just wondering, one of my teacher told me, like I was saying, like you were talking about on the other show, that people are talking and using the marba, or if they're talking. And she told me that when you talk, my teacher said, the reward goes. So I'm just wondering, what reward are we talking about? Is it like when, because I know when you go into the mosque, obviously at each Friday, you're seeing from one Friday to another, you're seeing that you've committed, you get, you know, eliminated. Yes. But I'm just wondering what reward goes, so, you know, the Friday that you went there,
yes,
so your namaz will be accepted, but what reward goes?
Allahu Akbar.
Your reward will go.
Jazakallah
khair. Explain that to me when people are talking, you know, about that, please.
Inshallah. Jazakallah khair, sister. The question is a good question, alhamdulillah, and I'll broaden the question a little bit. What is the reward for the day of Jumu'ah? What is the reward for the khutbah? And what is the reward for the prayer? Number two, I guess I'll add a question to it. When that reward is eroded, what is the reward that is being spoken of and how can we protect it? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that as the day of Jumu'ah arrives, the one who arrives to the masjid early, and especially for the men who sits in the front row, for the sisters who sit in the back row, the one who is there early, the angels record for every early attendee to the masjid the reward of sadaqah that they give. So of those who attend early before the adhan is given, before the imam stands on the minbar, it's as if they gave the reward of sacrificing a camel that they gave in charity to feed the poor, sacrificing a cow to feed the poor, sacrificing a sheep to feed the poor. Even the Prophet ﷺ goes down to a list until even if it's just an egg that they gave in charity to feed somebody who is poor. And then when the imam stands on the pulpit and says, Assalamu alaikum, the angels lock their scrolls, meaning no more reward for attending early to the Jumu'ah is written. One day the Prophet ﷺ in the authentic hadith, a man came late and he was crossing over the lines. He saw an empty space in the front. He's hopping over people's shoulders to get to the front. The Prophet ﷺ said, Ijlis faqad adayt. Just sit where you are. You have harmed people. You have come late. So there is a reward for coming early. There's also a condemnation for coming late. The Jumu'ah is built on khutbah and salah. The khutbah is an essential part of the Jumu'ah prayer. The Prophet ﷺ once witnessed a man as he was sitting in the middle of the Friday prayer. There was a pebble or a small piece of stone that was in front of him. And he was moving it around with his hand, meaning he wasn't attentive to the khutbah. And the Prophet ﷺ said, with every movement, there is a loss of reward. The reward is of the completion of gaining a perfected Jumu'ah. So whenever we do an act of ibadah, we begin by Allah giving us all of its reward. And as we diminish its reward by our intentional or voluntary mismanagement of that special time, we begin to lose the reward. This is taken from the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ said, رب رجل قام فصلى. Perhaps there will be an individual, a man who will stand up and pray. فلا يدرك, you know, at the end of the prayer, by the end of the prayer, that نصفها أو ثلثها أو عشرها, that by the time they come to the end of the prayer, ما أدرك منها, not even half of its reward or a third of its reward. For some, they didn't even gain 10%, عشر, 10% of its reward. Imagine that you could have had 100, but you ended up with just 10. So for every movement, it is لغو and لهو. The Prophet ﷺ forbade that a person speaks in when the Imam is speaking. And the Prophet ﷺ, he warns us of the one who misses the Friday prayer, misses the khutbah and comes delayed, that this is something that is unacceptable. With regards to the prayer, it is two rak'ah that is performed behind the Imam with a recited reading out loud. So that has a special significance. And if you catch just one of those rak'ah, you have caught the entirety of the salah as we understand from fiqh. But we should not think of it in that sense. We want to accumulate as much reward of good deeds as we can. So the second question is, what is the reward that is being lost? It is the reward of the completion of the prayer perfectedly, in a complete manner. So if somebody speaks, if somebody moves a rock, if somebody distracts others, distracts themselves, all of that erodes from the completion of the reward of gaining 100 of the blessings. One diminishes it to just the 10% or even less. May Allah protect us from that. Allahumma ameen. The rewards of the day of Jumu'ah, of course, are many. That in it is an hour where our dua is answered. And some people, they speak about the reward being diminished, means that one's dua that would be made is not accepted because they have eaten away of their action. Another statement of the ulama is that the barakah, the blessing that is found in the day, especially in commerce and buying and selling and productivity after the salah, is eroded, is not shared with us in a material worldly sense, that one finds himself distracted from earning the barakah and rizq that they could have. فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ, as Allah commands at the end of Surah Al-Jumu'ah. Another reward that is lessened is the one of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pardoning us and freeing us of our inequity and sins, that of the small sins that happened in the previous week. The Prophet ﷺ says in the authentic hadith, الصلوات الخمس, the five daily prayers, والجمعة إلى الجمعة, and praying جمعة till the next جمعة, ورمضان إلى رمضان مكفرات لما بينهن إذا اجتنبت الكبائر. The five daily prayers, جمعة to جمعة, and Ramadan fasting till the next Ramadan, they expunge, remove, extinguish, blot out, erase the sins, meaning the minor sins of an individual in each of those segments of the day in the prayer, of the week, and of the whole year. So it is a great opportunity for us to reset our scale. And finally, there is the reward of gaining light from one Jumu'ah to the next. From one Jumu'ah to the next, praying it, our world is filled with light, meaning that we are able to see beyond what others see. That the light of Allah's guidance leads us further away from making mistakes, prevents us from missteps or things that would lead us off the path. And because we sacrifice from ourselves, Allah magnifies the light. Allahumma atmim lana nurana. Oh Allah, complete for us light. But when a person diminishes their Jumu'ah, lessens their Jumu'ah, light is taken from their heart, meaning they don't gain the basira to see beyond sight, to have insight. This is taken from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that a Muslim man who has no legitimate Sharia reason, meaning that there's no fear, there's no clement weather, they're not a traveler, and they have well-being and health to come to the prayer. من ترك الجمعة, من ترك ثلاثة جمعات, the one who misses three Jumu'ah prayers consecutively, طبع الله على قلبه. Allah stamps out the light of their heart, meaning the light of faith in their heart dims. They do not have that basira. May Allah grant us enlightenment and illumination. Allahumma ameen. Jazakallah khair for that wonderful question, sister. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you khair and barakah. If someone passes in front of me while I am praying, is my prayer broken? The answer to that is no. Your prayer does not break on account of somebody else's actions. Your prayer is only broken when you intentionally break it, where you do an act that breaks it, or you in your heart intend to break it. The actions that break it, of course, is that you come out of wudu, and it could be voluntary or involuntary. Or it could be not just wudu, you laugh out loud, you talk with somebody in a way that is beyond what is acceptable in the salah, you know, you answer your phone or something, you do an action that breaks your connection in your salah. The second is the breaking of it in the heart, where you say, no, I'm not, I need to leave, I'm not praying right now. Or, I've ended my salah. So that also breaks the salah. But the actions of another, somebody walking in front of you, does not lessen your reward, does not break your salah, and it is only meant for you to warn them so that they don't lessen their reward. The Prophet ﷺ teaches us that it would be better to wait a lifetime than to cross in front of somebody who is praying unnecessarily. If you're in a masjid and if it's busy, if you need to go and it's an emergency, then those are things that there is legitimacy for it. But if you see somebody praying and you maliciously just cross in front of them rudely and arrogantly, knowingly, then this is something that speaks of your character and your state of heart. And the person who is praying should just, indicate to you, push on you, don't cross. And if you continue to cross, they shouldn't, wage battle with you or anything. It's just to warn you to do that so that you don't lose your reward. But it does not affect their salah, inshallah. And I add to that, my dear sister, I recommend for you to place in front of you a sutra. A sutra is an indication to others that you are praying. And it's anything that's elevated that when you make sujood, they can cross on the side of it. Even if it's just, your bag or a hat, something you just put at the place where your sujood will be. And it doesn't have to be overly elevated, just that it protects your place of prayer. Sutra means protected area, inshallah. Good question, Jazakallah khair. I know it would be benefit to many people. Alhamdulillah. A Muslim sister friend of mine in her 70s, mashallah, may Allah extend her life and give her good deeds and all of us with her, Allahumma ameen, who is practicing, is scared of dying and worried that when the angel of death comes to take her soul, it would not be easy. What can I say to her to reassure her? Say to her the words of our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In authentic hadith narrated by Imam Ahmad by Al-Bara ibn Azim radiyallahu anhu wa ardaah, he says, إِذَا كَانَ الْمُؤْمِنُ فِي إِقْبَالٍ إِلَى الْآخِرَةِ وَإِدْبَارٍ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. When a believer, they have turned towards the akhirah, and they are turning away from the dunya, meaning their final moments of life are upon them. نَزَلَ عِنْدَ آخِرِ طَرْفِهِ مَلَكَانِ طَيِّبُ الرَّائِحَةِ بِيضُ الْوُجُوهِ مَعَهُمْ حَنُوتٌ مِّنَ الْجَنَّةِ وَكَفَنٌ مِّنَ الْجَنَّةِ. That when a person is looking towards the akhirah, meaning that their life in this dunya has come to an end, and their soul is now about to depart. And I want you to understand that not because a person is clinically dead, meaning their heart has stopped and their brain activity has stopped, that means their soul has departed. Only Allah knows when the soul departs, right? That moment of departure is known to Allah. There's a lot of people who are clinically dead who are revived back to life. But that death that is ultimately known with Allah is with Allah's knowledge, subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a person is in that state, their dunya is over, and now they are waiting for their soul to depart this existence and enter into the existence of the akhirah, they see two angels pleasing in their sight, blessed in their scent, descending from the heaven, who have with them perfume from Jannah and clothing and a wrapping from Jannah. And as the moment of their soul's departure of the body comes closer, the angels come closer and closer to the individual who is in that moment of al-ihtidar, hatta yajlisa 'inda ra'si, until they sit near their head. And they speak to us as believers. They say, you were a good person in this life, Abshir, you have good news. You have a good place with Allah. We have been sent as your protectors, your allies. And Allah described this in Surah Fussilat. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِنُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, that those who are believers and who do righteous deeds, نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاءُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ, the angels say to them, we used to be your guardians in this worldly life, and now in the Akhirah, we will be with you. We will see you through. And they sit and they give reassuring words to the soul as it's getting ready to depart the body. And at that moment, the angel of death arrives in a pleasing sight, with a pleasing scent. And he says and speaks these words taught to us by the Prophet ﷺ. فَيَأْتِي مَلَكَ الْمَوْتِ فَيَقُولُ يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّةِ اُخْرُجِي إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانِ وَرَبٍ عَنْكِ رَاضٍ غَيْرِ غَضْبَانِ. Exit, O blessed soul, into the forgiveness and contentment of your Lord, for your Lord is well pleased with you and has no anger or wrath against you. And at that moment, the Prophet ﷺ says that the soul departs the body with the fluidity of water being poured out of a vessel. It moves with speed and expedience, and it is without impediment. Water traveled through everything and goes around it. There's nothing that stops it. And at that moment, as the angel of death takes your soul from the body, the two angels take you from his custody. And they wrap you in that kafan, they wrap you in that wrapping from Jannah, and they perfume you with the scent of Jannah, and then they ascend into the heavens. And every encounter with an angel as they travel with you, as they come to the gateway of the heavens, ask, لِمَنْ هَذِهِ الرُّوحُ الطَّيِّبَةِ, to who belongs this blessed soul? فَيَقُولُونَ وَيُسَمُّونَهُ بِأَحْسَنِ أَسْمَائِهِ, they call you with the best of your names. You know, this is Yahya Adil Ibrahim. This is a righteous person. May Allah make us as we have husn dhanni billah. And they open the gateways. Aftahu lahu abwab al-jannah. You know, tufattahu lahum abwab al-sama. Allah says in the Quran that the righteous, the gates of the heavens are open for them. You ascend all the way to the seventh heaven. And as you arrive there, it is summoned. There is an order given. Iktibu isma ruha abdi fi idliyin, record the name of this blessed servant of mine in the record of the most high and honorable. Thumma a'iduhu ila al-ard, a'iduha ila al-ard, return the soul back down to the earth. Minha khalaqnahum wa fiha nu'iduhum wa minha nukhrijuhum taratan ukhra, from the earth they were created, to it they are returned, and from it they will be brought forth again. Your soul descends and hovers over the body of you until you are buried. And in that moment, we are ordered by the Prophet ﷺ to close the eyes of the deceased, because the soul continues to see through it. فَإِنَّ الرُّوحَ تَتَتَبَّعُ النَّظَرُ. We close the eyes of the body and we use warm water because there remains that connection. We treat the body with respect and we hurry it to its grave. And as you enter the grave, your body and soul are entered into it. And you are asked the questions, مَنْ رَبُّكْ, by the two angels, مُنْكَرْ وَنَكِيرْ, who is your Lord? And you, your deeds compel your soul to answer, رَبِّي اللَّهْ حَقْ, my Lord is Allah with truth. وَدِينِيَ الْإِسْلَامِ وَمُحَمَّدُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, Muhammad was my messenger. Islam was my religion, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that I followed. And Allah says, open for them a gateway to Jannah. Your soul may enter it, but your body and soul will wait until the day of judgment. May Allah turn the graves of our departed into gardens of Jannah. May Allah give us a good end. And as you live with righteousness, as we hear of this blessed practicing sister, let her know that she has blessedness and a good end waiting, inshallah, for all of us. I hope you will follow me back after our short break, inshallah, for the salah and the adhan. And I look forward to seeing you in a few minutes for the conclusion of Islamic Q&A, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول
وأولي الأمر منكم. جزاكم الله خير. All right. For those who are following on my social media streams, I have maybe 5 or 6 minutes with you, inshallah. I'll try to take some of your questions and some of the questions that you have put forward and asked, inshallah, that maybe we don't answer. We'll try to put them as a general comment for everybody else as well, inshallah. We have a question from Sister Asma. Is it permissible to send my daughter, who's 25 years old, for a job outside her hometown? I would prefer, inshallah, that it's something more local. But if there is a dire need, and it's not just your daughter, it's your daughter or son. If you feel that this is something that they are going to be on their own and unaccompanied and that there is fitna, I'm not sure which country you're writing in from. It is better to make that decision as a family rather than as an individual. I would prefer that you look for something more local, something that is better. And may Allah grant her the barakah of a good, righteous man who can accompany her, inshallah, into the future. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, Allahumma ameen. I normally don't like to answer the questions, just normally brothers and sisters, for sisters or brothers. Sometimes the same levels of complexity are relevant to both, inshallah. Allahi barik feekum. All right. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant rahmah and barakah to all. Other questions coming through. Bismillah. Can a menstruating woman go to the masjid for qiyamul layl? The answer for that is no. And I would say in general, for our sisters not to go for qiyamul layl to the masjid, just in general, the general habit of the Prophet ﷺ for Rasulullah was to do qiyamul layl in his home. Now, if there is a special event and things like that, there are lectures and things like that, then sit in an area where others are not going to be praying, where you are not cutting between the lines. It is not the general habit that you would go, inshallah, and disturb the other lines of other people that are seated. So, for example, if people are praying, just say you went for a lecture between Maghrib and Isha, and it's time for the Maghrib prayer, don't sit in a line and you're not praying, and then there's sisters on the right of you and the left of you. That would be unacceptable. Move a little bit further to the back. Wait outside when the lecture starts. Make your way in, inshallah, so it does not cause inconvenience to others, inshallah. Is it permissible for me, females, to go to university and live away from home? This is a regular question that's kind of being asked. I will say the same thing for both young men and young women. In general, the answer is no. I do not believe that it is the right choice. And that's simply because I've also lived in different places. I've gone to universities, and it depends where you're asking from as well. But what I would say, my dear sister, is if you can find a university posting in a local university, even if it may not be as prestigious as the university you want to travel to, I would recommend that for you, inshallah. Over the course of your life, over the next 50 years that you have to live, you will be far better suited having stayed with your family, stayed with your home, than having the ambition and gone out. Maybe I'm in my 40s now. I have a little bit more clarity with these things. And I believe that that would be the right answer that I would want my daughter to hear, and what I would want my son to hear, and what I will say to you, my dear sister, that the ambition of your career should not eclipse the fact that living on your own, traveling on your own, being away from your family on your own is not worth it if you are able to find a suitable place and a suitable institution to study that is more local. That is my humble recommendation to you, not as a religious answer, but as an answer from somebody who's been there and done that. My daughter, all right, bismillah. All right, bismillah. Let's see if there's any other questions. Looking through, alhamdulillah. If you have any other questions, do post them as well, whether on YouTube or Facebook. All right. For those who do not pray at all, how would you recommend dealing with this? Is it okay to tell them to start by praying one prayer and then build up, knowing that Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ صلواتهم دائمون. So what I would say is, rather than say, you know, start, I would say, pray with me. So do it, you know, if you are living with them, if you are near them, if you go to school with them. So try to invite them to a regularity of prayer as a pattern of behavior. And the pattern of behavior can then become a more spiritual pattern of behavior, and you begin to ascend in that regard. So what I would say, if, for example, if it's your children, rather than saying, go pray Salatul Maghrib, I would say to you, say, let's pray Maghrib together. And don't pray until they assemble. So, okay, go make wudu, turn off the TV, leave your homework. It's time for Salatul Maghrib. Let's pray Maghrib together. And even if it's somebody who's young or old, say, and they say, oh, I prayed, say, okay, alhamdulillah, let's pray the next prayer together, right? So make sure that you're catching one or two prayers together. It's not out of, you know, hostility. It's not out of shaming. And it's more of فَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Be regular in reminder. The reminder benefits the believer. Imagine the Prophet ﷺ said that once your child turns 7 years old, أُمُرُوهُمْ بِالصَّلَاةِ, enjoin upon them prayer until the age of 10, which is when you begin to discipline them. So you're not to discipline your son, your daughter, until after the age of 10. Do you know what that means? That means from the age of 7, 5 prayers a day, times 7 days a week, times 12 months a year, times 3 years, that's 5,480 times you were supposed to have invited them to salah, recommended for them salah, enjoined upon them salah, taken them to salah, woken them up in the morning for salah. Nearly 6,000 times you would have brought salah to their attention. فَذَكِّرْ, remind them. Without discipline, subhanAllah, as a parent, it's really sad for me to think of some of the missed opportunity. Alhamdulillah, my children, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect their prayer, make it for him alone. But you want to protect their ibadah, you want to protect their salah, you want to protect their iman in that regard, by linking their ibadah with Allah, not with yourself, not with your dealings and deeds. فَذَكِّرْ, remind, bring them towards the prayer. Allahumma ameen. Should I do sajdat al-sahw if I read some surah after surah al-fatiha, same surah after surah al-fatiha by mistake? No, that's not a mistake. You only do sujood al-sahw if you have made a mistake in the rukn or in the wajib. Rukn means the essentials of salah. Wajib means the compulsory statements of salah. So if you forgot attahiyyatu lillah, didn't say it, or if you did not read, make ruku' and you, or made one sujood and not both sujood, or you know, things like that, those are where you do sujood al-sahw. You make it up and then you do sujood al-sahw. If you took something out of salah that should be there, instead of four, you pray three, then you make the fourth and then you pray sujood al-sahw. Before the two salam, you make two sujood before the two salam. If you added something to salah, just say you pray dhuhr 5 rak'ah, then after salam, you pray two sujood sahw and another salam, inshallah. There is no sujood sahw for reading a surah double after surah al-fatiha. This is accepted. And if you didn't read another surah after surah al-fatiha, there's no sujood sahw. That is a sunnah action to be performed, not a compulsory part of the prayer. All right. Should women read Dhuhr prayer on Jumu'ah? Yes, it is not compulsory for a Muslim woman to pray Salatul Jumu'ah, although it is recommended for those who have place and are able to, if it is not a disturbance for those who it is an obligation upon. And mashallah, many of our sisters, jazahumullah khair, in smaller communities, they give up their place of praying the Jumu'ah in the masjid so that our brother can have a place which is an obligation upon him, unlike her, to fulfill their salah, inshallah. May Allah accept that sacrifice from them and give them the reward of their sadaqah upon the brother and of the fulfillment of the salah. All right. Let's take another question, inshallah. Just scrolling through the comments. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. How can I increase my dua daily and add more barakah and goodness in my life for Allah to give me more rizq? So increasing your dua, there are two important mindsets. So one of them is systemizing, having a particular pattern. And that's why we have the adhkar in the morning, adhkar in the evening. We have particular things that are said in particular times. So where you should begin is in establishing the pattern that the Prophet taught us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Simple things. When you wake up in the morning, Alhamdulillah, الذي أحيانا بعدما أماتنا وإليه النشور. أصبحنا وأصبح الملك لله والحمد لله لا شريك له. أصبحنا على فطرة الإسلام وكلمة الإخلاص وعلى دين نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم ما أصبح بي من نعمة وعافية وستر فأتم علي نعمتك وعافيتك وسترك في الدنيا والآخرة. الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذ سنة ولا نوم إلى آخر. All of those are confirmed dua and dhikr that is made in the morning, in the evening. Then the ones after the salah, then the ones in the salah. So systemize what the Prophet systemized for us, inshallah. The second is now to add the dua that is personal to you. The Prophet ﷺ says the closest you are to Allah is when you're in your sujood. فَأَكْثِرُوا, make extra dua. أَكْثِرُوا مِنَ الدُّعَى. So where you find your need with Allah, increase it. And what I like to do is to categorize my dua. So I have dua for myself, dua for my wife, dua for my daughter, dua for my sons, dua for the young, dua for the old, for my father, for my mother, for my brothers and sisters. I have dua for my career, dua for my workplace, dua for my students, dua for those who live with me, dua for those who are away, dua for those who are alive, dua for those who have passed away, dua for my businesses, dua for my rizq, dua for my sustenance, dua for my debts, you know, for my academic achievements, for my education, for my teachers who taught me the Quran. All of those, systemize your dua, make categories of dua that are meaningful to you, and then go through that and have them on notes, you know, have it on things that you can reflect on and read through them before you actually begin making your dua, inshallah. Sister Mariamu, she says, we're looking forward to seeing you in Nigeria. Yes, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. I am looking forward to being in Lagos, inshallah, in the last weekend of the month of November. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant khayran barakah to the One Ummah community over there, who have organized a wonderful event, myself, Mufti Mink, Sheikh Wa'il Ibrahim, many, many people from around the world coming together for a wonderful event. Sheikh Omar Sulaiman, Sheikh Hasib Noor are going to be in Abuja. I won't be with them, but others will be, inshallah, due to the conflicts in my schedule, short period of time. But may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant khayran barakah. I am dearly looking forward to visiting my brothers and sisters in Malaysia, inshallah. All right, we're getting back onto Islam Channel Zoom link live, inshallah, on the TV broadcast or the satellite broadcast. Akhi, do we have any questions waiting for us at the moment? Anybody on the line? Bismillah. And if you do have any questions, do put them forward, inshallah. We'll try to take them. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. All right, we're coming back live to the studio shortly, inshallah. You can post a question in the Facebook stream, the YouTube stream, in the Instagram stream, or through Islam channel, inshallah. Allahumma lak alhamd. Those asking for online classes for teenagers, the answer is yes, mashallah. Go to yahyaibrahim.com. And /school, okay. You will find season one, season two, and season three coming soon, inshallah. All right, coming back live. Bismillah. Allahumma lakal hamd. اللهم إنا على ذلك. Jazakallah khair.
3, 2, 1, 0
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back. It's your brother Yahya Ibrahim coming to you live from my home here in Perth, Western Australia. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you khair and barakah and tawfiq wherever you are through this wonderful vehicle of Islam channel. Alhamdulillah. We do have a caller on the air live with us coming in now. If you do want to call in, we just have a few minutes left for our program. Do give that call as soon as possible, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum, caller. How can I help?
Alaikum salam. In Wuzu, are you supposed to rinse your mouth or gargle?
Jazakallah khair. It's a good question, jazakallah khair. Is rinsing the mouth and gargling, is it a necessity in the fulfillment of our wudu? Now, the generality of wudu, as agreed to by all of the schools of thought, is how Allah described it in the Quran. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ, wash your faces. وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ, and your arms, your hands and arms, up to and including your elbows. وَامْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ, wipe and pass water over your heads, the crown of your head. وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ, and wash your feet and include in them the ankles. We know from the hadith of Uthman radiallahu anhu that the Prophet had a greater detail in fulfilling those general aspects of wudu. So if you were to simply wash your face, wash your arms up to the elbows, pass water over your head, and wash your feet, including the ankles, with the intention of getting yourself ready for worship, that's wudu. Whether you put water in your mouth, in your nose or not, whether you even made the right arm before the left arm, all of that is sunnah. It gains you extra reward in following the Prophet ﷺ. So the Prophet taught us to wash our hands 3 times, to then use our right hand and put water in our mouth and gargle, to that swirl water in the front and gargle if you want near the back of the throat. There is dispute with the ulama whether it's gargling deeper in the throat or just swirling water in the mouth. Where the detail comes clearly is in the aspects of siyam. You will find the ulama in siyam, they will say, do not gargle because there could be the danger of swallowing some of the water, which means that it was known that gargling was kind of part of swirling the water in the mouth. And that can be done once, twice, or 3 times, and not more than 3, not to exaggerate or go more than 3. At any rate, the mouth, and to pass water into the nose and push it out, sneeze it out once, twice, or 3. And then to wash the face. The face is from manbat al-sha'r, from where the hair begins to grow. For our hair challenge brothers, it's not here just that you know you're balding. It's from where your hair used to grow up to and including the bottom of your chin. And that will include your beard. So washing this part of your face and including the beard, water should pass towards your skin. And that is in the front of your ears to the base of your chin. That's considered al-wajh, the face. And we make that as a bathing. Those who said putting water in your nose and mouth, they include it as part of the face. So if there's an opening in your face, you should then include water in it. Because from the requirements of wudu is that it is to cleanse part of a particular area. So therefore, cleanse your nose, cleanse your mouth as part of it. Although it is considered a sunnah. Second, the arms in between your fingers, all parts of your natural body. Sisters who wear nail polish should remove it unless it's breathable and water porous nail polish or henna, then they can leave it on and include your elbow. The front of it and the back of it should be a part of your wudu. And this is done once, twice, or 3 times. Then the left arm once, twice, or 3 times. The hand, and it could be just one hand or 2 hands, that wet a majority of the head, either the back or the front, or you know, or the sides. And you can include the base of the ears, the inside of the ears. That is considered a sunnah. For sisters who are wearing the scarf and their hair is tied under the scarf, well, they can put their hand under the scarf or from the back of the scarf to wet their hair. They do not need to take off their hijab to fulfill that aspect. And then it is to wash the feet, the top of the foot, the bottom of the foot, in between the toes, and including the ankle bone. All of that is washed once, twice, and three times, inshallah. That is the consistent wudu of our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in its most complete sense. Should never go over three times for each part. One time at minimum is accepted. And even if you didn't wash your hands three times, if you took water and did your face, your arms, your head, and your feet, that is sufficient. If you have fulfilled that with that sunnah, extra details of the right before the left and doing it twice or three times, all of that gains particular reward with Allah. I want you to also know that there is a niyyah for wudu, that it's not just I'm washing my hands or washing my face, that I'm getting ready for an act of worship. And wudu on its own is an independent act of ibadah. So even if you made wudu and it's not necessarily for salah, not necessarily for reading Quran, it's just to make wudu as an act of worship. It is a blessed act of worship that raises one's rank with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has tied the action of wudu with the removal of sin. The Prophet ﷺ says that when you make wudu, that the sins begin to fall off your body with every drop of water, even from beneath your fingernails and eyelashes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who teaches the Prophet ﷺ that at the end of our wudu, we say, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ اللَّهُمَّ اجْعَلْنِي مِنَ التَّوَّابِينَ وَاجْعَلْنِي مِنَ الْمُتَطَحِّرِينَ. Oh Allah, make me from those who return in repentance to you, and make me from those who are pure and purified, O Allah. And therefore, the purity of the body and the purity of the act of ibadah of wudu is tied with the purity of repentance. The Prophet ﷺ teaches us that anybody who makes a sin, as narrated in Bukhari, and makes a good wudu, and then prays two rak'ah and asks Allah for forgiveness, they will be forgiven. The ulama are teaching us that the wudu with the salah is what gains that forgiveness. The wudu is a powerful act of ibadah. May Allah accept it from all of us. Allahumma ameen. We have another caller on the line in our last 5 minutes together. Assalamu alaikum, caller. How can I help? Yes, sister. How can I help you? I can hear you. How can I help, sister?
My name is Shaina Khan. My sister is 11 years old. She doesn't want to learn Quranji and she doesn't want to learn any kind of education. And I thought that what should I do for her, because she doesn't want to become a Muslim. She said Muslims are not good.
How old is she, sister?
11 years old.
11. So. Yeah, so what I would say to you, my dear sister, is as people are getting older and more mature, they begin to gain an appreciation of what is important. So what I would say to you is practice Islam with her. So practice your salah, practice your ibadah, practice your reading of the Quran, and also practice its message. So even if you are sharing the message of Islam without necessarily saying this is a verse of the Quran, the verses of the Quran are very powerful. The message of them is very powerful. And do share with her material from people that she might enjoy listening to. She might enjoy benefiting hearing them. And there's a lot of really nice Islamic content that's geared for different age groups. And I do ask you to just be careful of some of the things that are on YouTube and some of the things that are anti-Islam in that message that can maybe have been shared with her or put upon her by others, that can be something that hardens the heart away from Allah. But also continue to make dua. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide her as she continues to gain maturity. Don't dwell too much on what she says, and I'm not sure about this and that. Rather be positive and optimistic and share more and more about the truth, share the meaning more than just what to do, but why we do it and how we do it, and the love that we have for Allah and the love that we have for our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the more people learn about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the more they hear about him from different voices and different books and different materials, the stronger it can make their faith. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to turn our heart to the truth and keep you and all of us upon the faith of Tawheed, of singling out only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes people confuse Islam by talking about things that they assume is Islam or are essential to Islam, but they are not. What is Islam? Is that you believe that there is a creator and a being, the one who gave life and the one who orders its end. It is only Allah who ultimately has power. To believe that he sent messengers and prophets, people who lead us to a good way of life that we should model our behavior after, that we should pray, that we should give charity, that we should look after the poor, that we should fast and learn that there are things that are right and wrong and obligations for us in front of Allah Azza wa Jal. Keep it simple. May Allah open hearts. Allahumma ameen. This is where we'll bring an end our discussion. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants you and I khayran barakah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to meet with each other again next week in his blessed purpose of seeking his reward in this dunya and akhirah. Allahumma ameen. سبحانك اللهم بحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.